where the fuck you at?
I'm sorry. It must be told. In the name of the hog, the dog, the slugger, and the greasy tugger. Lord, we do not mean to cross you. Nor do we mean to tarnish your name with our carnal sins and fleshy lies. Forgive us, or cast us accordingly into your fire so we may char and bubble with the carbon of punishment. In the name of the hog, the dog, the slugger, and the greasy tugger. And now, a psalm from the eager book of eager yearnings.
Spark a holy fire. We've got tidings to burn from the parish farm where they castrate all the horses. God! Oh, it chokes! Who are the horses eating? Don't breathe it in, Lester. These testes were bad even on the horse. Now we water the ashes. Now we stir to make paint. Now we adorn our faces in masks of war and masks of lust, and watch Big Bang until the sun rises and the Christ suffers.
In the name of the hog, the dog, the slugger, and the greasy tugger.
The story must be told.
From the sacred book of dripping drips, two sniffs and the puss boy true, comes to you a cowboy's story, written by St. Cheese Boy, Cheese Grease.
Knots like this get me in a storytelling mood. Nights like this when the moon is in its hiding phase and the only light overhead is the never-ending Milky Way. Look there, the Big Dipper. You see it. It's always pointing home, no matter where you are. Sure, the constellations don't really look like nothing, but it's the story behind them that matters, don't it? It ain't a lie if it's entertaining. Hoo-wee! Well, we're burning starlight, and I'm in a storytelling mood. Did I ever tell you about the time I got saved by Indians? Hand to God, it happened like this, so listen true. We'd been on the trail for months during the driest summer I can remember to date. The steers were starving, and we were all dying of thirst, the horses too. We cut down on rations till we were eating dirt. And there was just a single drop of water in the canteen between us six cowboys. That night, on the driest night, and as death had his hand wrapping on our tent flap, a great storm burst out of the sky. It was like God himself opened the clouds up like a zipper. Boy, woo, did it let loose. My knapsack got rushed away with the water, and us cowboys was separated. Luckily, I found my horse, and I'll be darned if he didn't take off like a shot. I hollered and kicked, but there was no slowing that horse down as he rode me farther and farther away from my companions and the cattle drive. The horse pulled me for days, for weeks maybe even. I had the good sense to open up my canteen during the storm and fill it on up, but strike me down if I wasn't out of water within days. I slumped on the horse, falling asleep, having visions, when finally the horse stopped off and sat. He shooked, and goddamn if he didn't want me off his back, pardon the language. I tumbled off his back, directly onto the hot asphalt of a Radio Shack. Took all my God-given strength to crawl on that hot tar, burning my hands and knees and the top of my feet as I made it to the automatic door of that there Radio Shack. God damn if that logo never looked prettier to me. The black block letters against that deep red background. Radio Shack is always there, letting you know you're safe and you'll be riding home soon. I crawled through the automatic door, and for the first time as a grown man, I wept when that air conditioning hit me right in the face. Tears fell from my bony old eyes, and the last of my strength gave out as I sprawled on the ground like a dead plucked turkey. I awoke to the most beautiful woman in the world rubbing my head with a sponge. I was sitting on a cot in the break room, and there she was, an angel sent from heaven to bring this old boy back to right health. She looked gorgeous in that red polo uniform, with giant brown eyes and hair as dark as night tied into a braid behind her back. I was dumbstruck at her beauty. Try as I might to introduce myself, I couldn't stammer out word one. Finally, I focused my eyes hard enough, squeezing them like this, to read her name tag. Atepa. Most beautiful name I ever read. Atepa, I rasped out, my voice all torn to hell from weeks on the plains. Shh, she whispered, lulling me to sleep right then and there. When I finally woke up, I was all alone in the break room. That fluorescent light hummed like flies over my head. On the wall was a calendar with American muscle cars. I was a long way from the prairie. I opened the door and peeked into the store. A gate was over the front door, signifying they were closed for the evening. A tape of vacuumed and another Indian stood counting down the cash drawer. I marveled at the technology around me. RC helicopters, tiny screws you need to fix wall outlets, and doohickeys I wouldn't know from Adam's rib. Wall after wall of batteries. I'll tell you this much. I was far away from home. How are you feeling? The man asked in an Indian accent. Fine. Better, I responded suspiciously. You gave us quite the scare. Thank God you found this Radio Shack, all the way out here in the desert. You're the first customer we've had in years. Is that so? I asked a little too haughtily. You are. Atepa stopped vacuuming and looked in my direction. We thought you'd never wake up, she said with her big brown eyes smiling. Well, I got a job there in the shop. I helped out in the store for weeks to pay my due. That's something your generation don't do no more, paying your own way. I was indebted to the family at Radio Shack, and I was going to show them my appreciation in kind. I'll learn the trade fast, and I'll tell you here and now, it's a different world in cattle rustling. Pioneer Mormons come walking in, and you need to know which batteries work best in their Bibles. Outlaws showing up needing an extension phone cord for the landlines. Perverts come in and you need to show them which drones are best for looking at ladies changing their petticoats in the whorehouses. One day, Terry, the Native American manager, as I come to know him, came in telling us we were gonna close. So I came up with a brilliant ad scheme. I'd take my horse, who had by now convalesced and worked in the build-your-own-computer section, and I'd ride him out to the nearest outpost and burn down their Radio Shack. So that I did. I'll spare you the details, but I rode into that town late at night on my faithful horse. The whole town, all 30 of them, were dead asleep. And I thought it'd be a quick in-out job. So I took a swig of whiskey, soaked a rag in it, and tied it off. I lit it and threw it in through that Radio Shack window. It exploded like fireworks in China. That whole place went up in not 8 minutes, burning right to the ground. But then, you see, it got a little out of hand. People came running out from the buildings, and they quickly caught fire as well. Men, women, children ran out into the street, engulfed in flames. I stamped them out the best I could and put band-aids on them. Thankfully, they all made full recoveries on account of their Shriner Hospital. People used to be able to do that. I walked right to the sheriff and looked him square in the eye. I said, "Look, you can either hang me dead, or you can let me rebuild this Radio Shack and operate it till it's back in business." After some consideration, the sheriff, a Christian as I knew him to be, agreed. I built up that damn Radio Shack and was the best goddamn Radio Shack employee the West had ever known. And then, as time passed, I remembered Sweet Atapa. I'd lost myself out there in this town, running a Radio Shack of my own, forgetting entirely I left her and her family behind in the middle of a crucial advertising and marketing campaign. I ran right to the sheriff and gave him my name tag, telling him I had unfinished business, but my debt was paid, and I had to get out. I hopped on my horse and sped to Sweet Atapa, leaving that town in the dirt. When I arrived at the shop, I met an old woman, and gosh darn if I hadn't aged too. But I remembered those eyes when I saw them, in that dark brown hair. "Curly?" she asked. I nodded. "Atapa?" I said. She nodded. She ran into my arms. I held her there as she told me how they survived the long advertising and marketing campaign by eating her younger brothers and sisters. Her mother took to the drink, and her father devoured gizmos in the back, finally turning himself into a computer. But the biggest surprise of all was Atapa Jr. You got it. Curly had a son. So we went back to work there in that shop, working side by side. I raised my boy to be a Radio Shackman, and he learned the trade. Cattle rustling was a thing of the past in my own mind. This was my life, and I lived it like a good man for a while. That's when the prairie started calling to me again. I spent a few years not caring if the external hard drives were organized or not, and if the boxes of slot car racers were undented. Atapa sensed this, accepted it, and let me go. I kissed her and my boy on the head, and I set out on the trail. The next morning, I found myself on the top floor of a building in Dallas, Texas. I watched the parade go by when I noticed one of the men in one of the cars was John F. Kennedy himself. So I'll be goddamned if I didn't point my gun and pull the trigger until that giant Mick head popped. The first one caught him in the neck and he slumped right on over. And then the second one, boy howdy, that popped his head like a zit on a pastor's daughter's face. If he didn't get lit up. And that's the story of how I beat up John Glenn. Well, the night's getting cold and the fire's getting weak. My mood has passed. I'm gonna dust off these boots and unroll my cot. Just a few hours, they're gonna turn on these signs and unlock the doors. Then we'll be able to be one of the first people in this here town to get the Samsung Galaxy 6. Right here at this wonderful Radio Shack. The story must be told.
Dear Lord of writhing tongues and clapping lips, may we recall your prophets and masters, St. Harcrease, Methugologus of Dripburst, the leper carpenters of the Nub Shrine, Holy St. Patricia of Swollen Groins, Crispo, Dripsy, Portboy, and Hen Girl, and the starting lineup of thy Lord's steamy ball dreamers.
Well, you know, at the end of every service, we like to make a few announcements.
The town is having a fundraiser for our little fresh brethren. You know the little fresh brethren, they're sweet young men, and they gather up to do community projects. Well, they want to build a house for all the dogs that no one wants anymore. And, well, they don't have any money because no one gives a goddamn about those dogs. We're going to be selling brownies, and that alone.
Thank you for listening to The Story Must Be Told. We're hosted by The Last Podcast Network. Find us on Twitter at TSMBTPod. If you want to see more of our stuff, come to PostEverythingProductions.com. Short films, music, weird, 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 little boys. Rate and review us on iTunes and SoundCloud. And until then, we'll talk next week.
God, why does he kill JFK?
For nothing.
Yeah, just cause.
Just cause he sees
nowhere.
He sees him and kills him.
My comments were like, no.
No.
The story must be told.